Ha ha.
It's probably not.
By the way, I found George Carlin. Hopefully this is it.
En weer.
Too bad he's gone. Too bad he's gone.
Breno, can you repeat them for us, please?
No. No. I didn't practice it enough. You know, I know parts of George Carlin's show by heart, but this, not this show.
I didn't expect piss to be in there.
No.
Yeah. Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I guess
he was taking a piss at them, but yeah, there you have it.
Maybe he just said he was taking a piss, and he wasn't really.
I don't know. He how many times did he do
have
this?
Have you checked his Twitter? I'm pretty sure it would have been on his Twitter.
He's dead.
He is dead, well, but yeah, he still has a Twitter account.
Does he?
He has dozens. I think they're all running the Paperly software.
Well, that keeps you alive at least. Yeah. Yeah, but you can say it on radio whatever you want. So that's totally relaxed. Hey, guys, time for a break. And when we return, we'll have a shovel at the table.
A what?
Oh, yeah. And the song is called Alcohol.
Whoa.
Shit, piss, cunk.
Cock.
Cock.
Motherfucker.
Tits. Tits. Shit, tits. Was it cunt?
I don't know.
But indeed, piss is a strange word to be in there. Piss off. In Scotland or anywhere.
Winston Churchill was once told that V for Victory, you had to do like this, because he kept doing it like that.
I had a friend whenever I came to San Diego, he had these fingers, and it was a hand, and you could blow it up, and over San Diego you could see it like a mile away. And then we were driving up there, and then every time when I came, he took off obviously one finger down. And then I knew everything was.
And okay. We're all grown men here.
Right.
Yeah, everything he said about libraries being better because they're curated and because they're like proper books and not just clips and all of that stuff. But libraries have terrible selections of videos of cats and babies.
Method of execution, principally, is those of human beings.
Of course, but if we had, like, next to libraries, we had, like, paper YouTube offices, and people could go and they could show each other the same five pop-up books and argue about which one everybody looks at next. You know, perhaps we could make the internet irrelevant.
And that would make the NSA irrelevant, and we'd solve the entire problem. Yeah, I remember the title of this article. Of course it's true, I've seen it on the internet. Yeah, I read this in the book called The Google Story.
Feminita.
Well, it's a mindset. I'm not saying it's fantastic.
Yeah.
No, it's self-justification is what it is. It's system justification.
Geweldig. Ja.
Nee, dat niet.
So it's even worse. You can stare at people that do have beer, and they're torturing you.
I learned at the German camp, you shouldn't make fun of German beer on their radios.
Why?
German beer is like a drowning rabbit. No hops.
I guess it depends on it. Actually, we're in the middle of...
Ja, natuurlijk. Ik zal even...
But Germany won't import anything from Belgium. They only import from Poland and the Czech Republic.
Netherlands.
They only want beer.
Excuse me. Netherlands. Thank you.
Hey, by the way.
Not
hey, guys. Kun jij hierna nog even een liedje doen?
I'm not sure.
Nee, gewoon nog een hele song. Ik ga even... Okay, ik spring eventjes in het water achter het tent 2. Ik voel me echt heel erg duf opeens.
En hij maakt dit als schallen. I had similar situation.
Okay,
I was
so what are we doing
somewhere
here?
On the trip, and someone asked, "Oh, where are you from? Poland? Oh, Holland. Quite nice grass and so. No, Poland between Germany and Russia. Oh, sorry."
Brano just said he's going to jump in the water. I'm not kidding.
Okay, cool.
So we are on our own.
I think so. Somebody's going to have to carry the show now. So good luck with that. We can talk some more about cute cats on YouTube. But that'll probably fill up the next hour.
I don't know. I'm not into the cute cats. I'm the.
Are you more a dog person? I am.
No. I'm not. If I would describe myself, I'm more cat person, but I'm not into the cute cats on the internet. Sorry, I'm the outlier.
You're more into ponies. I do. Yeah. I have a friend who's into ponies.
You know, it sounds so wrong on so many levels.
In Black Hat last year, I won a pony award.
Oh.
And they give you like a My Little Pony doll that's spray painted gold and that sort of stuff. And I'm like, finally, I have something to talk about with my friends who are cronies. Before we had nothing in common, but now that I've got the doll.
You have crony friends?
They're everywhere around here.
And they're your friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Not because they're cronies. Coincidental.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd have to consider also becoming a brony to, you know, get more friends.
It might work. I don't think that it works.
Maybe only other brony people? And those are the ones I'm trying to repel, right?
Okay, so. What are bronies?
They're men like My Little Pony.
Oh, okay.
And, like,
they connect with it, but there's no good reason for it. But it's just because it's a silly thing to do, they do it, right?
Oh, okay.
It's like walking around with Guy Fawkes masks. Everybody just does it for reasons that nobody really agrees upon, but they sort of do it anyway.
Where I come from, we chop down trees with guns. The principle is the same.
Yeah,
you know, something silly to do to say, you know.
Yeah, you have perfectly fine chainsaws, I'm sure.
Yes, and chainsaws are significantly cheaper to operate, nearly as
that's the point, right? I mean, taking a machine gun and going and then seeing the entire forest fall over.
It's work that way. It's actually a lot of work to chop through.
In my mind, it works that way. And since we don't have any machine guns here, that's all I have to play with.
You should get some.
You know, you forget that we are in the Europe. It is not so so legal to have machine gun. Unfortunately, in Poland it used to be easier to get machine gun because before Poland joined European Union, because there were many Russians going to Poland to sell different stuff.
Yeah.
And before Poland joined European Union, okay, we were part of this Eastern Bloc, so so. And they were selling most of the stuff in the stadium built for 10 years of socialist Poland. And the stadium was destroyed, but it was enough for Russians, for Chinese to sell their stuff. And now, before the Euro Cups, they brought down this old stadium, now built the new stadium, which is okay now, but city doesn't have the money to keep it going, so everyone wonders when the Chinese and Russians will return and start selling their stuff again.
I remember my first time in Poland, I was connecting through Warsaw, and I hopped in a cab, I went to the city, and no plans to be there. And my cab driver was pointing out the thing, all I want is breakfast, so I'm not paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Not invited to it. He points out this giant building, and he says, that building there is a gift from Stalin.
Yeah.
Stalin can take his gift and he can shove it up his ass.
Yeah, there was some plan to destroy it, but now it's officially the monument, the famous building, so they can
destroy. He's a drowned dog now. Look at him, he's like a drowned puppy dog.
Dog.
Reno is the drowned puppy dog.
Oh, okay. I thought someone smuggled a dog in. Camps are weird without dogs.
Well, there's people with dogs here, although they're not allowed, but I think they're like dogs for blind people or for handicapped people, right?
So my roommate in Philadelphia, she has this cute little chihuahua, and we made a fake uniform for it to say that it's a working dog. So we were at a liquor store buying alcohol, and we were about to get thrown out. So I took the guy aside and I said, you need to understand, my friend here has lots of psychological issues, and she'll go batshit insane if not for this puppy to help her out. This is like an assistance dog for the disabled. Helps the mentally disabled just as much as the physically disabled. You know, if she were in a wheelchair or if she were blind, you would have no trouble with her having a dog. She's crazy and she'll start screaming if you take the dog away. Please just be understanding.
And you just did this to troll him, right?
Well, no, to keep the dog in. And so, but then afterward, they were like convinced that she was a security risk because they thought she'd go crazy and start throwing bottles down at the ground. And
yeah, maybe you should have been more subtle about what
she was.
So
there were like security guys ahead of us and behind us just following us to the store. And she's like, what did you tell them? Like, it's nothing, you know?
It's a doggy of mass destruction is what it is. I can imagine them being that insane. If you tell this in the Netherlands, they'll just laugh in your face and going, yeah, you can keep the dog, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, in most places, can't let you with the dog unless he has an excuse that he can give to his manager for why he allowed it.
Right.
And that's an excuse that he could honestly pretend to believe.
Why did you let the dog in? Because the girl is apeshit. Your
email address hebben? Ik heb een paar hele specifieke vragen. Of een kwestie. Namelijk privacy. Eigenlijk alles.
I guess that would really be, you know, without context on form, like accident form and then reason, the girl was apeshit.
Yeah.
Onmogelijk.
Eagle Eye Cherry?
Yeah.
Save tonight.
I bought a bottle of liquor in Heathrow, and it turned out it was the wrong terminal.
Oh.
So I tried to take the duty-free liquor to the other terminal, which is not allowed because of their liquid bags. Or it is allowed, but only if the bag is sealed, and the bag wasn't sealed or something.
Isn't that because you cannot actually go in there and then say, oh no, it was a mistake, and then take it back into the country without paying
Josh,
the tax?
Yeah, Slovenia.
So I was like, trying to take duty-free liquor out of England. I should never have been in England. And the security guy stops me, and he's like, I don't want you to panic, but you're not supposed to bring the liquor past this checkpoint. But I'm also a fan of scotch. It'll all be taken care of. I just need you to wait a minute while I pull some pictures. And so he called the head of security. Like, yeah, there's this guy about to get a bottle of Ardbeg confiscated from him. What should I tell him to get him through? They told me exactly which line to go through. And then when the guy caught me with it, I said, you know, call Ron in the main office and he'll take care of this. And
he didn't even call, right?
He called, and then he's...
Wow.
Well... I think it was neighborly.
Yeah, but they must have a good excuse. I mean, Ron must have a good excuse.
Well, Ron was in charge.
That's a good excuse.
That's a good excuse,
that's
yeah.
That's a good excuse.
That's the best excuse.
I mean, I have the biggest balls here. That's my excuse.
Yeah.
Have you seen my name tag? It says, I don't answer to you.
There was a border dispute between New Hampshire and Massachusetts.
I'm sure there is.
New Hampshire has very low liquor taxes. In fact, their liquor store will sell you liquor with no taxes, and the profit of the store is used instead of income tax to fund the state of
Maine. But just because then more tourists will come.
Right. So they have, the first thing you see when you enter New Hampshire, liquor store. Last thing you see before you leave, liquor store.
Right.
So one of these liquor stores, the guy is sitting in the liquor store itself, and the Massachusetts cop, police officer, parks in the parking lot to write down license plate numbers of people to arrest for bringing alcohol across.
You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to take the alcohol across, but they're not allowed to search unless they have a reason. Their reason is that they saw you in the liquor store parking lot.
Yeah, well, that
right?
makes sense.
Okay, so the owner of the liquor store, or the operator guy, he calls the sheriff and is like, hey, Lou, I know we haven't talked much since high school, but there's this foreign military vehicle in my parking lot. You mean a Massachusetts state trooper? Yeah. So the sheriff says, wait there, don't spook him off, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Just like a drugs bust. Car ahead, car behind, car on the side. Knock on the window, license and registration, please.
Let's not sit down for a change.
Sir, do you have any weapons in the car which are not registered in the state of New So they confiscated all of the guy's guns and then escorted him back across the border. They told him that he's always welcome back as a tourist, but if he comes in uniform, they will treat him as a member of an invading foreign power. And he will not be released until an appropriate prisoner exchange occurs.
But just, you know, is this, in all seriousness, is this sort of trolling, but it was also sort of serious, right?
Yeah.
Well, it was like a small town sheriff.
And you're back to the early morning breakfast show. Good morning to you all. Over 36 degrees, the hottest day probably ever in the Netherlands. And now it's getting cooler and cooler and we're expecting some showers. So make sure that your tents are well connected to the ground and the wind gusts won't just blow them away. Travis, we were talking about your car. You didn't say how much money you spent on this new van.
I paid $6,000 plus about $500 in taxes.
So for $6,500, which is, I believe, 30 euros or so.
It's 35. The exchange rate is changing.
Ah, okay. Ah, the yours is getting better. For that money, you also got like a full working room, right? You have got a full IT department there, basically a full editing table.
Yes, there's an editing studio in the back.
The studio is in there.
Yes, it's air conditioned. I have 3 19-inch racks.
I'm amazed because the studio itself is worth, even after a couple of years, still 50,000-60,000.
Well, not all of the equipment from the studio is intact. So the microwave equipment was removed. A lot of the audio equipment was removed. But the monitors and the like the sound monitors, the video display, the oscilloscope is intact.
How old is the van when you bought it?
It's a 2002 Ford E350 with a V10 engine.
So it will do like 3 miles and then it will run out of petrol.
Well, you know, when I'm driving it in America, I feel like I'm paying European gas prices for a Mini or something.
Yeah, but still, you know, I would love to have such a car. You know, you could have your whole studio in there, and sometimes they show up at my house, and then they are editing, and then indeed sending the image feed right away. And it's awesome. It really is awesome to see.
It's awesome where you can park it. I keep it in Tennessee because there's parking in Tennessee, but I can't imagine taking this to a city like Philadelphia or New York or Washington, D.C. with no parking.
Well, here at the Ohm Group, there was also a van from the NOS, right?
Yes.
But that's just a Mercedes Sprinter. It's not a very big van. Is it big because you like it big or because it actually has more equipment?
Well, we have very wide roads, and you need room for the generator and for the air conditioning. There's a military radio van that was brought here by some English historians. And in it, like as you look at it, you know, driving this thing, the poor driver has to sit right next to the V8 engine with no air conditioning and just a thin piece of aluminum to keep the heat away.
What do you intend to do with it?
I intend to search for point-to-point microwave links and to map them in the same way that you might map wireless hotspots.
Uh-huh.
But to start playing with wireless for other protocols, because we're used to thinking of cellular phones as wireless and thinking of Wi-Fi as wireless, but we sort of forget all of these other links, like the point-to-point links that are used for a legitimate TV van to talk to its studio. You can catch the raw feed if you sit in the middle and have the right equipment, and I want to do that and see exactly how hard it is.
And do you think that you'll get like some juicy information out of it, or is it just purely because of a hobby or because of interest?
Well, I expect to get some juicy information, but I don't know whether I can release it. Like I did a project a few years back. We won best paper for it at the Usenix Security Workshop, Usenix Security Symposium. And the paper is called Why Special Agent Johnny Still Can't Encrypt. We took a look at the handheld police radios that are standardized in the States. It's called APCO Project 25. It's the American and Australian competitor to Tetra. And on these radios, there's a little switch, and the switch has a circle and a circle with a line through it. And if you have the switch in the wrong setting, then the radio transmits in the clear, but it still works on the network. So you can have these groups of agents who are doing their mission, like drugs busts or custom stuff or the rest. And in each of these cases, about a half to a third of the people in the group will be transmitting clear text and not knowing it.
This talk is on YouTube, is it not? Because I think I've seen it.
It is. It was initially presented at Usenix by my graduate school advisor, Matt Blaze.
Okay. And this is sort of basically doing the same thing with, but then from a different angle, right?
Right. So doing it for P25 was particularly easy because you have handheld radios with P25 that run up to a tower and from the tower out to the other radios. So it's easy to set up a listening post. You just put up an antenna and you're done. But microwave towers have directional connections. There's actually a dish that aims at the other tower in order to provide the link. So you need to be in the middle.
But also, this gives it greater distance, right?
This does. It's still limited by line of sight, though, so they like to build these things at the top of mountains in order to get them further.
Okay, so it's going to be hard for you to actually pinpoint them at the satellite dish that you want to receive the information from, that you want to intercept the information from.
Oh, hard, but not impossible, and that's why I'm doing it.
So are you going to publish this? I mean, if you're finding all these frequencies, are you planning in making a directory of all these frequencies or mapping them and then publish that so others can enjoy your findings?
Perhaps. At the very least,
maybe
I'll be...
Perhaps.
Well, I'm more interested in building the tool to do the searching than maintaining a directory.
Do you want to share your findings?
Yes, but my finding is in how to build the van to do the thing. It's not in...
Oh, okay.
I'm not interested in where the towers are in my part of the country. I'm interested in how to find towers in a new part or in a new region. So my result, the thing that I'll be publishing, is the description for how to do this conversion on a van and how to begin working with these technologies.
You said earlier that you said, I do not know if I can actually publish the information, whatever the information may be. Do you think there is a security implication for you or for the country?
Well, in the States, our radio privacy laws were built around a couple of jerks who were listening to other people's cellular phone calls. So the big thing that you're not allowed to do there is to listen to a private phone call. And if you do accidentally listen to it, you're not allowed to publish it.
We've got a Rome Treaty, and in the Netherlands, except for some frequencies, basically anything you can receive, you can are allowed to pick up and use. The only thing is that you're not allowed to do is with airline radio. You are allowed to listen to it. You're allowed to broadcast it on the internet. The only thing you're not allowed to do is to record it and replay it for some strange reason.
Well, I'd imagine you'd have to draw the line where if the line is encrypted, and then if you decrypt it, you cannot publish it because, well, it's encrypted for a reason, right? But if it's not encrypted, then it's fair game, if you ask me.
Yeah, yes. In the States, yes. We have an explicit law that anything made by the government that goes out over the radio without cryptography, you're allowed to listen to.
So basically, the lack of security, stupidity was built in the law.
Oh. But even if you can listen to it morally, that's not the same thing as being able to publish it. For example, if people might be put in danger by the publication of it. There were quite a few times in which, in our recordings, we found like car chases or undercover investigations. And if the people involved in these investigations overheard the recording, they would be able to, say, identify undercover agents and that sort of thing, and would probably respond violently.
That's kind of funny, because what do you think criminals will do if they find out that this is possible? You know, they will use it.
And I don't think you should be held accountable for their incompetence.
Not if I'm pointing out the problem in their technology, but I think that I should be held responsible for it if I were to publish like an audio recording that I knew would directly get someone violently hurt.
That's something different, you know. That's obviously if you're breaking the law, if you know that you place people in imminent danger, that's a whole different ball game.
True, but there must be some scrutiny, because otherwise they will just not encrypt anything at all. And when you publicize something, they'll just sue you. And, well, you've seen what happened to Bradley Manning.
Yeah, and the stupid thing is with the thing I told you about the airlines in Europe, or at least in the Netherlands, that you're not allowed to record it and replay it. You know, that's basically protect us from stupidity. I think I would like to see that in court. If a plane crashes and you have the audio recorded, and you would replay it. I would really want to see them getting ultimately a successful conviction, because the interest, if you look at the ACANA incident, by getting that information out, and we at nu.nl published it within 5 minutes, a lot of people already had a lot of information about what went down, and you know, all mystery. Like, is it a terror attack or whatever? It was all gone, you know?
Yeah, but that's the great thing about it being partly public and having this line drawn, right? Where the information is encrypted or not encrypted, and then it's, well, it's public information.
Yeah, I applaud the US, you know? That's far more open than in the Netherlands. They will always go very secret during the investigation. And that is always a very bad thing. At least to my opinion.
Yeah, well, you see, at this conference that... The Dutch government and the NFI, for example, they're trying to open up their methods of how they, for example, how they hack into your mobile phone. And I think it's good that they open up the methods, how they do that, but there can be more transparency. Although I think this is a very good example of that the Dutch government is sometimes willing to actually open up the books and say, you can check what we're doing. And I think that's good. But as you pointed out, And I'm just agreeing with you here, that's all I'm really doing, is there must be more transparency, just like in the US, there's more transparency.
On certain points, and on certain points there definitely is not. You know, I file FOIA requests in the United States, and I stop doing it because they don't bother to answer.
But
or when they answer, it's like 3 years later.
True, but on the other hand, here in the Netherlands, not everybody knows what the WOP is, and the WOP, of course, is the Freedom of Information Act. But everybody in the U.S., most of the people in the U.S. do know what the Freedom of Information Act is, so there is a different of mindset there.
And yep, definitely.
Maybe that has got something to do with the fact that the United States is still a pretty young democracy. And they do things we don't do anymore. I mean, I've been there a couple of times, and I saw to my surprise, just to give you a little example, that the National Archives takes every present given to the US president worth more than $200. We don't do that. We simply throw it away. Or we don't put it in an archive. See? And I've seen this C-SPAN channel. C-SPAN channel?
Yeah, C-SPAN.
C-SPAN. Where there was a Senate committee on educational whatever in Virginia overhearing the local population.
Right.
I've never seen Dutch Senate do that anywhere in the Netherlands. They were actually listening to the people, everybody.
I do remember.
Also, little children came there to the stand to talk to the chairman of the Senate committee. Children of 6, 5 years old. They had a statement of just one line, but still, they are there to make use of their democratic right to have their vote here heard. And I found that absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. We don't do that anymore here.
Well, we do. What they said they did. Like last term, when the boardroom was chosen, you know, in Congress, then they took 200 days to go out and talk to the public. But well, I haven't seen any of it. So as far as I can see, the media sort of wanted to paint the picture that this is what they were going to do. Although the media didn't report anything on the actually doing of the thing they were saying they were going to do.
No, that's, I guess, a big problem there. That the media basically doesn't do their job properly.
But in preparation of this conference, I made a little list at home to see how open are our intelligence services and which official organs are there, institutes, to check them. And I actually read a couple of these reports. There's a report by the Review Committee for the Intelligence and Security Services on how the Dutch Defense Intelligence Service uses signals intelligence. It is highly critical. And it explains a lot on how signals intelligence is used, why it's used, how it works, blah, 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 blah. It's really amazing what you see in there. From now on, I will forward people who are interested in signals intelligence to this particular report to get an introduction on how that works. And there's many, many of these reports out there. The report on the notification obligation, where the Dutch intelligence services are forced by law to inform suspects that they were followed or eavesdropped or upon or whatever 5 years after closing down the investigation. That report is really detailed and it's really good. You can find a lot of information in there. There's a law on the intelligence and security service in the Netherlands, which explains article by article what they are allowed to do. Not that they do it, but it's in there, all right? There's an annual report that they publish every year. It's in Dutch and it's in English. There's a secret annual report going to a committee of the Dutch Second Chamber, the Dutch House
Parliament,
of Commons, Parliament. And there are so many, many controls there. It's amazing. And you may not agree with the results there, and you may argue that it's all government and it's all the same thing, blah, 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 but it's there.
Yeah, and
that's why I always say there's no secret service in this country. It's all open.
Well, it's not all open. But
it's all open.
I guess this is going to be one of those let's agree to disagree moments.
Yes.
No, I'm right. I'm sorry, I had to say that.
Nope.
Hey. The other thing is. So where I come from, they do something terribly innovative. Instead of having DJs, are the mics on?
Why don't we discuss this? And we're on air again.
Okay.
Well, this is unsuitable.
Okay. That would be perfectly fine.
I am going to the toilet now. Well.
One advantage of radio censorship is that you have something to talk about while you're off air. Without any, so you wait until the microphones are off, and you say, that guy's a cocksucker. And then when the microphones come back on, well, resume your...
One of the Polish politicians thought that the mics were off. Okay, not one. It happens sometimes. Even this was the once there was the chairman of the lower chamber. When he said, "Hey guys, don't fuck with me. Let's go through this law." And it was a few years ago. And now this year there was some in the commission. They were discussing some. Some issue, and again, vice chairman said, "Hey, this John Doe, tell him that he should not fuck with me, and he should vote like I said him to do." And the funny,
Were you flipped off the camera or a different?
The previous Polish president, the one who got killed in Smolensk, said during the press conference about one female journalist. Oh, this is this monkey in the red dress, which was not very politically correct and.
Five minutes. Is it true that there's a Polish proverb along the lines of "not my circus, not my monkey"?
Not my circus, not my monkey.
The way to say that it's someone else's problem.
Yeah, it's not very popular, but I believe I
sounds Dutch.
Sometime.
We call them government policy.
You are retired, so
the microphones in the trees are still on. But the ones in the table.
Oh, so you cannot say that government is full of okay, basically, you cannot say that government is full of idiots because it would be telling the state secret. Wow.
Well, there was a lot of static there in the jingle all of a sudden. Pretty interesting. Welcome back. Yeah, and it's funny. The messages use more bandwidth. Now that I'm doing it, all of a sudden Arno Rosa is totally amazed by all the porn that comes by on the pages of the Pirate Bay, which of course I only use for legal purposes, obviously.
I imagine you download a lot of Linux ISOs.
All the Linux ISOs, only Linux ISOs. But the messages use more bandwidth, and while doing that, and keep watching. Don't walk across the bridge near the Omroep because the bridge is half falling apart. So don't look at your laptop. Just look straight ahead and follow the markers, because the bridge can be a bit dangerous if you walk on the wrong side. So just be aware of that.
So the Pirate Bay, that's the mail order bride catalog website?
Yes, kind of, sort of. Yeah. Yeah, these nice folks where, one of them couldn't come this year to the party. He apparently was somewhere in, I believe he's still in prison in Sweden, right?
Yes, he was here for a year. He was here 4 years ago. And I remember him telling us, like, okay, I'm sorry, guys, I can't make it next time. I have an appointment with the government and my prison cell.
Yeah, and he was right, unfortunately.
Yeah, he was. I remember him. We had this board 4 years ago at HAR. We had this board discussion, and there were four people discussing piracy. And
yes.
And they said, or at least one of them said, I believe it's our friend Tim Kauk. He said, the Pirate Bay is an evil organization because they use other people's content to sell you advertisement, And they're getting very rich off this advertisement. Well, and then the next thing that happened, and this is what I found very interesting, is the founder of the Pirate Bay walked up to the microphone, and he sort of asked him directly. He said, "I'd like to have my money, please, because according to you, I'm a rich man." And I looked at the guy, and he was looking very... This might just be his image, but he was looking very shabby, and he didn't really look like a rich man to me. He actually looked like a poor man.
I don't know. I really don't know about that. But the thing was, of course, that if somebody is evil, in my opinion, it's Tim Cook and his organization, because they are basically attacking basic freedoms and even use the most stupid arguments to make their point. Even terrorism is being used. So that's the music industry and the entertainment industry. I've kind of had it with them for that respect.
Maybe you know this, Breno. When the Pirate Bay was blocked in the Netherlands for some providers like Access for All and so forth, these providers said, "We're going to go to higher court and actually appeal this."
Yes.
Do you know if there's actually anything? This has been months now. I haven't heard anything.
It's still in court, so it still takes time. And then you have to await what happens at the Supreme Court. And then the European Court of Human Rights. So it may be years before we really know if you can block the Pirate Bay or not.
So we're going to have to get fucktimkuik.org up for at least a couple more years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Tim Cook is the guy who is doing all the litigation on behalf of all these organizations. And the fun of it is that basically he... he's being also the scapegoat now, because there's an entire industry and everybody says Tim Cook did it. And then there was this website called Geen Stel, and this shock block created a link called fucktimkuik.org, and they asked like, "Okay, come after us, please, come, and they still haven't done, and now thousands and thousands of people are using fucktimkuik.org.
Yes, I feel sorry for the man, but
I don't.
As I understand it, he makes quite a very good living from some people who are paying him, and I don't know who these people are because it's not very transparent.
You shouldn't feel sorry for him.
I was being sarcastic here.
Oh, okay.
But I can imagine these people who are paying him, and because he sort of booked a success, I don't think fucktimkuik.org really, .org really is a success, and especially not for him, but the industry probably thinks so, because I imagine he only makes more money now, and it's more about him than about actual music industry, right?
Now, from my background, I'm used to look at a issue from different perspectives and different viewpoints, trying to balance everything. Now, suppose that this Mr. Cook is wrong partly, and some of what he says is crap. Maybe a lot of what he says is nonsense. But do you agree that somewhere deep inside this Stichting Association has a point? Yeah. We are talking about intellectual property rights, and I haven't heard anybody say something about the original owners of their intellectual property rights.
I have heard many people say things about that, actually.
Well, I mean, on this table.
There is.
We're ridiculing Brain, we're ridiculing Cook.
Well, I think it's good that we get into this, because if we don't look at it from that perspective, we're just as bad as he is, really, actually. And I do agree with you that piracy is an issue, and we're still debating that today. But fighting it with fire is not the solution. And because he fights with fire, we fight with fire, and it ends up in a war, right?
Yeah, true. And that is indeed, that is my concern here, that we all end up in fighting camps and not listening to each other and trying to work on something of which could go into the direction of a solution. Because I also think about the intellectual property right of these people that are simply losing money.
Yes, and a lot
of... I'll be honest with you, sometimes I download stuff because it's legally allowed in the Netherlands to do that.
Right.
And I really feel guilty there. Because I download electronic books, and I think, well, maybe you should buy that. And to share you a little story here, if I may, just a minute. I once downloaded the Pearl Cookbook, which I found such a fantastically, incredibly good book that I actually wrote to the original author by mail that I also bought his book. just to give him a signal that somebody out there is willing to pay money for his work.
But how fantastic.
And he sent me a mail back, and he said, wow, Mr. Reuser, I forwarded your mail to O'Reilly to be published on the website. Do you agree? Isn't that funny?
I think that it's actually very important to realize that nowadays we have the internet, and you can write the author of this book, and you can actually tell the author, I want to pay you some money, and cut out the middleman. And I think the middleman is the main issue here. I've spoken to two artists.
Oh, I thought we were talking about piracy.
Well,
getting
we are,
somebody
basically.
Else's work without playing.
Can I respond to this? Because I am one of the people that people steal from.
Okay.
I earn my money with intellectual property. And I have learned to deal with it and to understand that I can sell my story only once and then it will be copied and copied and copied. And that's part of life. And I'm trying as a board member of the Federation, the Dutch Federation of Journalists, I try to teach other journalists that we should prepare ourselves for times where things have become different. On the internet, intellectual property is not working the same way as as the physical world, as many things on the internet are not working in the same way. It's not theft because the original product is still there. So that makes it a very complex discussion. And what this industry consistently does is evade that discussion. I have had many attempts to get into a discussion with Tim Kuik. I offered to go to dinner with him. We made an actual appointment that morning. All of a sudden, he realized he was getting friends over from the US. And when I tried to...
Friends.
Yes. And when I tried to get a new meeting, he didn't respond. Every time I write a column, he basically keeps shouting underneath my columns at HP De Tijd, sorry, but you're so wrong. But he never gives me the hard arguments. He only say like, these people lose so much money. Now, we have looked at PC Active, at how the money has been divided. And what we found was that most of the money will never reach the people that really earned the money.
Yeah, it's 3% or something, isn't
yeah.
it?
I was talking about them. This is the middleman I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, I ridicule him based on a long, long history. And it's you're fully right that you discussed that you shouldn't do that. But there is a basis in there. And I would love to have a discussion. And I think it's a complex. I don't want digital rights management, but I also don't want to pay a premium. And it's not about the money because I'm one of the people who's very willing to pay. Very willing
but
to pay.
But there's a nuance in this, right? I mean, from your work, you make articles, you get paid for that article once, and then you get copy and copy. But you do build a career upon that. I develop open source software. I'm not getting paid for the original software, but I go to an employer and I say, I made this, it's my portfolio, and it's well known within the industry, and that provides me with the job. And it's different for every industry, because if you're, say you're a singer-songwriter, you might actually lose a whole ton of money lose between quotes on the not being able to sell your songs on a disc, which is of course a very old method, or you know, you because your music is so widespread, because assuming that everybody pirates your music, you are a popular recording artist, you will get a whole bunch of gigs because there's so many people involved with your music, and this is you have to invest to return, and piracy sort of cuts that off, right? And I feel like that this discussion is heated up because, you know, pop artists who are very, they have a different model where selling the songs is actually more important than the gigs. And therefore, I feel like that industry is really fighting back. The dying dinosaur industry. The other ones are actually, in my opinion, and this might be an unpopular opinion, but in my opinion, they're doing quite well.
Right, okay, so at this stage, this discussion is indeed going into the direction of let's see who has an interest from where and get some understanding for the other party instead of just ridiculing, because ridiculing leads to nothing, absolutely nothing. I can understand the frustration, no problem, but it leads to nothing. So if you try to understand what the interest is of the other parties and see where all these interests lie, maybe from there we can try to work on a solution for this.
But is it
just
ridiculing?
Forbidding everything.
No, but we have had the parliamentary commission.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, their response was, yeah, we'd like to talk about you. And then they started working on ACTA, the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, where they hit, literally hit, in secrecy, that basically you could go to jail for years. Basic freedoms were taken away. Mm. The treaty could be modified without... So they had a clear, evil picture there. Then True. The committee found that the industry basically was failing the most, and that the people actually were willing to pay for music, but the only, just like you, just like me, but the only thing is they don't have the business model to support it. Well, Spotify, they tried to stop it in the Netherlands for years. So we've tried a lot, and the only response that Tim Kuik can find is take things to court. He's even using ex parte procedures. Those are legal procedures where you cannot defend yourself, to shut down a website. And judges are giving them, and then you have to litigate and fight. The Dutch Pirate Party successfully showed how to do that. But it shows he uses the legal system in a way it definitely was not designed for. So, and then that's his only response he gives to people trying to raise the argument. Because from the other perspective, if you do nothing now, people will keep downloading. That will never change. But since I have Spotify, I stopped downloading. There was no point for me to download. Now, some of the people are retracting from Spotify. I started downloading again. So,
I spoke with two recording artists. One of them was Sektel. He's the singer from a band called Clawfinger. They're pretty big in Sweden. And one of them is a recording artist in the UK. His name is Dan Bull, and he actually has a song. It's called Bye Bye BPI, and BPI being the British publishing industry, saying, we don't need you anymore. We have the internet now. Dan Bull's kind of, it's not a very big artist. He's a rap artist. But Sektel is actually quite a big recording artist, and he was signed at Sony at the time, back in the day. I was talking to him, and he said, at his gig, he asked the people, please, if you download any of our music, raise your hand. And then he applauded us for downloading his music and going, please, screw the industry. I don't want to work for the industry. I want to work for you guys. You guys are my fans. You guys are my life. And if you can support me and my family, it's all fine with me. And I guess that's what we come back to every time, over and over again. The discussion is the industry, and the industry is dying. Tim Kuik is the face of the industry, and it's ridiculing the industry. Tim Kuik's just the name. We're ridiculing the industry, and maybe it's not even ridicule. Maybe it's just being satirical about a very, very serious situation in which we, which will go away eventually. I believe that.
But Tim has no fans, and if you stop going through the industry, then Tim won't have a job anymore.
Well, he has fans on the. He has anti-fans.
No, but that's a very interesting one.
I mean, Tim's livelihood depends upon the continuation of these lawsuits.
Yeah, well, that's my point. But eventually, I believe, and this might just be hope, right? I believe the industry will die off.
But this is a very interesting framing issue you place here. If you frame it like a faceless industry, and that's exactly what Tim... That's the very good thing that Tim did. He was the face of the industry.
And he still is.
Yes. He's less public now than last year, but he's the face of the industry. So he's the man that shouts out for that. If you take away its face, then it's a dark monster that you can't control, etc. And basically, that is what is going on, because I don't think he thinks of everything himself.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't think that's what he does. I think the only thing he really does is give a personality to the industry. Which is what you pointed out, but that kind of makes sense, right? Because if it's Sony against the people, it's the evil corporation against the people. If it's Tim Kuik against the people, it's just one man.
Although, it's Tim Kuik against the people.
And that's bad, of course. It's a battery of people behind him.
Yep.
But he's just a spokesperson. And it's the old thing. In the music industry, the only place there's lobbying is in the music industry. And everywhere there's... Right?
No. Lobbying takes place really everywhere in Dutch society.
No, I mean within the recording artist industry.
The entire entertainment industry is basically lobbying.
Well, yes, and if that goes away, the industry doesn't die. The music doesn't go away, and that's my point.
No.
Somebody lost their microphone, I think.
Yeah, I have to admit.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but there will always be corruption, you know.
I mean, a friend of mine was at a sales conference of. Yeah, I hate to say this. I used a certain term yesterday at a panel discussion on hacker ethics. Integrity. I'm sorry, integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that term led to a completely destroyed discussion because everybody was talking about this particular term. And the term is Microsoft.
Yeah, that was the Fox IT discussion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use this term again with all apologies, by the way, because a friend of mine was at a sales conference of Microsoft. And there was about 5,000 people there. And it was opened by the chief financial executive of Microsoft. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, we estimate that worldwide we have an X number of Microsoft offices, packages with people working with that software package, and we estimate that about half paid for it. Talk about cynical.
Yeah, but did you realize that the early versions of Microsoft products were not protected at all? And there's a reason for this, right? It's not in Microsoft's best interest when they didn't have the big market
share.
Yeah,
it could be a trick. Yeah, true, yeah. Marketing trick.
Yes, they want...
I was in Thailand once, and there is actually a shop there that sold copied software, shamelessly copied, in lovely CD disc boxes with the passwords on the surroundings and the login information. And it was a copy.
Did it work?
Everything. So I bought a few of these CDs, Microsoft Flight Simulator, all that crap that you never would buy. They were US dollar each, but because I bought four of these discs, I got two for free. So I went home to the Netherlands with six of these discs, and then I thought, wait a minute, this may be illegal to import copied discs like that. So I smuggled them in. Don't listen, please, dear customs. And they work. They actually work. And it's amazing. I also own a false Rolex watch, a fraud watch, which I bought in Yugoslavia for $40. I don't have any moral obligation there because I would never buy a Rolex watch in my life. But the software is usable. I can use that, see, which costs Microsoft money. And that's where my little integrity problem lies.
You could even argue that it doesn't cost them money.
Yeah, like what was said before, that it is indeed a marketing trick. No, but hopefully you'll see my little dilemma
there.
You
said it yourself, you would have never bought it.
No, the Rolex, yeah.
No, you said I would have never bought the software yourself.
No, I mean the Rolex.
And so you would have
bought?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it works. I can use that, but the Rolex doesn't work anymore. It worked for 2 weeks and then it was dead.
Okay, but I think the point is that you only bought the Microsoft Flight Simulator because it costed you $1. If it would cost you $200 or whatever is the price, you would never buy this.
No way.
So the
same argument could be made, right?
The big question is, did Microsoft really lost this sale because you would never bought it legally? So is it lost money for Microsoft or is it not?
Isn't this a semantic discussion, basically? It's just because you mentioned the Rolex and we got into this. Let me give you... Now we got into Microsoft, so now we're getting to my territory.
No, we're not getting to Microsoft.
Oh,
we promised. Yep. We promised him that if he mentioned it, we would not use the word, and we're not going to derail the conversation.
I'll have the final words, because the time is up.
Ah, damn it.
So, the final word is thank you all for listening. This was the early morning breakfast show. At 11 p.m., there is a party at the Italian embassy, and they are ringing everybody on their deck, so it must be important. Thank you for listening and goodbye. My name is Brenno de Winter.
Lovely music.
My favorite counterfeit thing to buy in Asia, they make these handheld game consoles that have every single vintage video game ever made for whatever systems they support. So you'll buy one and you'll have like every Nintendo game made for the NES. It was ever published, including patched ones that are only available on the internet. all together in a single box, you have every one of those games. And it's incredibly convenient.
If you like NES games, maybe, yeah. But you have a shitload of those devices. You can just buy them here as well, because it's legal to buy the device, it's only it's illegal to buy the game.
Well, so like I bought one in Singapore, and in Malaysia they'll just sell it to you with all the games intact, but in Singapore they won't.